Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well,
I'm
thanks.
Really good. I'm doing really good.
Yeah. Where are we right now?
We are up at the Lox's studio.
Yeah.
Recording a Two Jews and Two Black Dudes episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell them what we watched, baby.
We watched The Last Dragon.
The Last Dragon. He almost forgot. Holy shit.
How could you forget that?
The Last Dragon.
The Last Dragon.
You're going to fucking love it. Tune in right now.
Bruce Leroy.
Incredible.
Yo, Styles, what are you doing on Wednesday, October 3rd?
Smoking weed, gonna be in a Highline ballroom.
Yo, what you doing there? I'm gonna come join you.
It's a show called Two Jews in the Dorm, Two Black Dudes Review the Movies.
Oh, that's nice. Live. That's dope.
Highline ballroom.
You bringing anybody?
Yeah.
You mind if I tag along?
Let's go. Come on in, brother.
No doubt. Don't miss it. I'll be there.
So, everybody, it's Two Jews, Two Black Dudes,
Highline ballroom. October 3rd.
Special guest. Don't miss it. We're gonna watch a movie live. You'll be there watching it with us. You'll be able to kick it with us, give feedback, watch Crazy Chic Looch, watch fucking psychopath, fucking serial killer Jeff, and Eric and myself. And just, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be fucking lit.
Yep.
That was really good. That was good.
Jadakiss, if people want to go get their tickets, where can they go?
That was good. That was really good.
It's thereal.com.
All right, now we're back in the apartment, and I hope everyone does go to itsthereal.com and gets their tickets to Two Jews and Two Black Dudes Review the Movies live at Highline Ballroom October 3rd, itsthereal.com. Jeff, I did want to make mention, after a really heartbreaking weekend and a very tough beginning to this week, I just wanted to say to everybody who has been affected by the loss of Mac Miller, we love you and we're with you. And like Jeff said last week, we're all going through this together and we're all going to get through this together. And I think that's important to know, because we've received so many messages in this short period of time of people telling us what Mac Miller meant to them. I know we made it clear what Mac Miller meant to us, both on our podcast and on Open Late,
the Peter Rosenberg Show. And also we were on the New York Times podcast with John Caramanica.
Yep.
So, you know, Mac has been very present on our minds this week, and I'm sure he's been on yours as well.
Yes. So a couple weeks back, we had
a couple weeks?
Okay, more than a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, because, okay, people might not know, people might think that we record a new podcast every single week on, like, a regular schedule. Sometimes it's like Swizz Beatz will come over on a Saturday night at 11 p.m. and you just do it then.
Right, and the podcast goes up on Monday night.
Yeah.
But this was, we were planning this vacation. We were going to Utah and Arizona for 10 days to go to all the national parks. We were definitely not going to be recording any episodes out there.
And we recorded episodes like we'd never be coming back. We recorded like 6 episodes in like a week. Actually, this week we're recording 5 episodes in 4 days or something like that.
Yeah.
And so this episode is from about a month ago.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter, because the fact is that Jay Worthy's energy and his vibe and his sense of humor still translates. It's a dope episode. Jay Worthy, if you aren't very familiar with him.
And you should be.
You should be very familiar with him.
He's certified.
He is one half of the group London Drugs, who have a reissued project out right now. So people might have missed it the first time 2 years ago when they put it out on SoundCloud.
Yes, it was Active. Now it is Active Deluxe.
There you go. It has so many dope songs on it.
No, I don't even want to, like, go listen to it. Like, it is our favorite album of this year. It is so good.
It's amazing. Go listen to it.
Active Deluxe.
And it has such a distinct sound. So shout out to Sean and shout out to Jay Worthy. A really interesting guy. He's from Vancouver, but he's also from Los Angeles. And when Jeff says certified, he is the real deal. He is Pyru of the streets, in the streets,
on the streets, yeah, whatever. Just going through every preposition. When Vice was putting together a documentary about Compton.
Right.
Bompton.
Yeah.
They went through Jay Worthy.
Yeah, Jay Worthy was the guy. You had to go to him to get to Kendrick. Anything that was going on, it started and stopped with Jay Worthy. We also talked about his relationship with Freeway Ricky Ross. They were selling hair together.
It is one of my favorite stories.
Out of the trunk of his car?
That people have told in this podcast. Also, the Sarah McLachlan story is amazing.
That's a good one, too. We talk about Drake. We talk about Kendrick. We talk about Currency.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fun stuff.
Everybody
in this episode.
Everything you would think that we talked about, yams.
Yep. It's a great episode, and there's great music behind it. So definitely check up on Jay Worthy, and then check in when you're heading to Bompton. Jeff, do you have three episodes that you want to recommend that people listen to?
Yes, but before that, I do want to shout out Young Ezra.
Oh, yeah.
Who brought? So I mean, like we were this episode was in the works for a very long time,
right?
And we were DMing with Jay like a million, you know, before he was coming to New York. You know, There were a bunch of months in between, the planning of this and it actually happening. But also, his manager,
one of his managers,
is our friend Ezra. Yep. And Ezra is a child,
and we talk about that during the podcast.
Yes,
but yeah, Ezra's a young kid.
Ezra just finished high school.
He's certified in a different way.
Yeah, like Ezra has lived about 40 lives, and we talk about that in the podcast.
Yeah.
But, all right, fine. Episodes that you should check out if you like this one. Number 30, Currency.
Shout out to our guy Currency. We do play a clip from that episode in this episode as well. Currency, as you know, is the hot spitta. He is New Orleans' own. And we get into all the details about growing up, about his No Limit days, about his Cash Money days, about his Young Money days, about his independent grind, his relationship with Wiz Khalifa, about that Rockefeller chain that he owes us. There's a lot. It's a lot of fun. You know, we have this special relationship with Mac Miller. Rest in peace. And Currency's another one. When we get together, there's nothing like that creativity between the three of us.
All right, how about number 155, OT Genesis?
OT Genesis, Long Beach's own. We talk about what growing up in Long Beach was really like. And also what's fascinating is that Long Beach's most famous entertainer, Snoop Dogg, There was never a question that OT was going to go to him and, like, you know, tell him that he raps and he needs to get on and this or that. He avoided that. He was like, I'm going to prove myself. And he did. He went in a totally different and very successful direction. And now he's Snoop's peer, not just Snoop's guy.
Also, number 157, T Grizzly.
Shout out to T Grizzly. Shout out to everybody up there in Detroit. What a warm guy. We had him up here. Didn't know what to expect. You know, I'll just say he told us exactly how he found himself behind bars.
Yeah.
Okay. Go listen to that episode and you find out. But a nice guy.
Super nice guy. I think, smart.
Yeah. It's
so,
one of those things where it's like, even though he's smart, even though he's a nice guy, he did end up behind bars, but it doesn't define him. You
exactly.
know?
Yes.
So shout out to T Grizzly. Shout out to Detroit. Anything else?
Yeah, review the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, all that stuff on iTunes.
That's so crazy. So many
SoundCloud.
People give it a high rating and then don't leave a review. We've been stuck on 138, and yes, we check. Guys, leave a nice note. Say something nice about us. People care. We care.
Yeah, even if it's just like, I like the curly one and the tall one, you know?
Jeff, when do you want to get into this episode?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Swervin' Lanes, a.k.a. Gutterball.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Bagging Grams, a.k.a. Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah, this is a waste of time, but it's the real. Jay, what's happening?
Shit is cooling, man.
We met you down at South by Southwest.
Yeah.
And we were so impressed that you were really just rolling by yourself. Mm-hmm. It was like some hand-to-hand stuff. Like, you didn't know us, like, in person. You were so nice from jump. We were like, yo, this is a guy who's really, you know, about his business. He is about, you know, really making connections. He is a very humble guy. He shows up by himself until today. Today, you brought like 15 people to our apartment.
Ah, shit.
And we see how it really is when you're in promo mode.
In promo mode, full promo run, you feel me?
What was that South By experience like for you?
That shit was cool. I really, like, to be honest, I was only on like a couple showcases. I was really out there more just promoting Pro Club, the company that, like,
the
I'm kind of the ambassador of, kind of the marketing dude or creative director, whatever the hell they want to call it.
Yeah,
I'm in charge of running that, and running that shit. So that was like I was out there just like creating awareness for the brand, really, and then just popping up to like Larry June shows and Killy's shows.
Yep.
Just different homie shows that's out there.
And that was also on the tail end of the G Worthy run, too.
Yep.
That project, we know Cardo very well. One of our favorite podcasts when he was up here.
Yeah. Also, one of our favorite running jokes is that Cardo is 4'11".
He looks like a fucking, like the leprechaun.
Yeah. He's like a little, like, garden gnome with his tiny shoes and,
yeah, he is the leprechaun.
Can you talk about your experience of working with Cardo?
Yeah, so, like, Cardo actually, like, reached out to us because me and Sean got a group called London Drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So we put out this album called Active, which actually was the re-release today, came out. And he hit us up because he really fucked with that album. And he was like, yo, Yams always told me to work with you. So that he just, you know what I'm saying? He did it on the strength of that. And then we just linked up one day. Sean came out there. I got a prequel involved, and we just recorded the shit in like one day.
One day.
Yeah, one day.
And so did you know that you would connect like that?
I mean, shit. When me and Cardo got on the phone, like we like had the same music interest and like came up on the same shit. So you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, I already knew it was gonna work. You know what I mean?
That's dope.
Well, truthfully, like you know, when you're saying that you only did it in one day. Are you saying that you were, like, real locked in, or are you saying you just put zero effort into it?
No. So, like, I mean, really, like, Cardo was sending beats over at first, and then I would send some to Perico, but Perico likes to, like, make shit, like, you know, everybody together. So that's kind of how we, like, booked the session and just, you know, we just came with, like, fresh shit, just a fresh start, had Cardo just make the beats on the spot and shit. A few albums that happened like that. I think the Alchemist one, I pretty much made, like, most of it in, like, a day. The DJ Fresh one was, like, a day.
Is that a problem, then, like, you know, sort of setting the bar that high? That it's, like, whoever you work with in the future, it's going to be, like...
Yeah, you're telling Sean, you're like, hey, chop up these samples. Find these samples right now.
Me and Sean took 3 years to make Active, right?
So that's fascinating to me that that's a project that took you 3 years to make.
Yeah.
It took 2 years to sort of like incubate and work its way around the world and get the interest of so many people when it was strictly just a SoundCloud mainly release, right? Right.
That's all it was. That's why like today we're like, we wanted to put it on like, you know, all platforms and, you know, revamp it and add new songs to it and shit like that.
So who were some of the people who took notice over those 2 years?
Man, I guess Cardo, Alchemist,
Currency,
yeah, Freddie Gibbs,
Barack Obama.
I don't know, man. A lot of people though, it's crazy. A lot of people just like
Cousin,
you know,
Stiz,
yeah,
Cousin Stiz, yep. And like people that aren't rappers too. Like I remember, like sports players were hitting me and skateboarders are like our music really big in the skateboard community. We're always getting like posted on like Thrasher, like. You know what I'm saying? Or like all the Supreme homies and Palace homies are always playing this shit in the store. So it was crazy just to see like what type of people actually fucked with it.
Like what was your expectation like when you were putting it together? Was there any expectation?
I don't know. What was our expectation? What did you think?
It was low, definitely.
Yeah, we were just like, yo, we pretty much, we didn't even know what we were going to do with it. Because after Yams passed, we were like, well, shit, what are we going to do? And then A-Track, like it hit us and was like, yo, I fuck with it. So... You know, he gave us a platform to put it out on, but we didn't know what it was going to do, you know? We just knew that we fucked with it.
Well, so we live in a world where people want instant gratification. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in a world where if a label doesn't push your shit or put enough physical copies in a store when that was a thing. Like, we live in an era where people just want everything to hit and hit big and hit right away. That's not this story, though. You let it rock. Was there any part of you that was like, man, I wish they would put more into this or I wish more people would notice it now?
Well, you know, I think we kind of knew it was always going to be like a slow but steady rise because like the music we're making isn't like, it's not like anybody else is really making it. So only like, you know, a niche following is really going to like fuck with it. But now I feel like it's getting bigger, you know, like slowly but surely. But I don't know. We kind of knew that it wasn't going to be like an instant gratification or just, you know, but like we did get crazy like cosigns. Like Rocky immediately like tweeted this shit right away when we dropped User Trick. Not just because Yams was on it, but because he like genuinely hit me up and was like, yo, this some jiggy shit. I fuck with this shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of different people fucked with it. It's crazy. And it's like, I feel like more people like we need to, right now we still building our fan base up, you know what I'm saying, to get the masses, but I feel like a lot of like musicians, like producers, rappers, that's like how we came to like make all these different compilation EPs with like different producers, or you know, like right now I'm working on one with Dame Funk, working on a different one with Shlomo, working on one with Thundercat. It's like these all came from what we made with London Drugs.
I mean, you are known for your collaborations. Mm-hmm. I do want to talk about, before we get into like the whole story, I do want to talk about my favorite collaboration I heard about, which is that you and Freeway Ricky Ross.
Oh, yeah, my dog.
Got into selling hair.
Yeah, weaves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's like the best. So
that is one of the best
things. How did you connect with him, and how did you guys get into the hair selling game?
Yo, so I guess he heard about me like, yo, there's this kid in Compton, he's selling hair. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I got family in India, so I was getting a direct plug like right from India. And we just linked up one day, and I was like, he's like, all right, meet me over here. I was like, hey, I'm in Compton. He's like, all right, meet me in Carson, right where the 91 and Central meet. So I'm sitting in the car, and actually at the time it was me and Tory Lanez and my boy Hines, and we're like sitting in my whip, and we're like, all right, Freeway Rick's gonna pull up. He's gonna pull up in like, you know, something crazy, you know what I'm saying? It's Freeway Ricky. So he like pulls up, and he pulls up in this bucket, like straight beater bucket, and he's like, hey, what's up? He's like, hey, you know what, I got some gas money. He's like, I got this radio show. It's actually a podcast. He was doing a podcast, and he's like, he was like, just roll with me to the podcast. I'll shoot you some gas in there. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm with Tory Lanez. And he's like, man, I know Tory Lanez. It was like, this is like right before Tory like kind of like blew up. He was like living at Sean Kingston house, I remember. Whoa. And like, this was like a while. Yeah, when was this? This is, can't even remember. Maybe like 2014? No. Yeah, it was like 2012. Yeah, like 2012, 2013. Something like that. Yep. But anyways, we went up there, and then me and Rick just got to talking about hair. But then we got to talking about music and just different shit. And
he's a bald man, right?
He is.
Okay, yeah. Yep. Okay, yeah.
So. He's a vegan and he's a bald man. Yeah.
But that's why you never test your, you know, you don't use your own product, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
So he let me see. So yeah, we just got to talking about a bunch of different shit, and then like we was just rocking, and he'd be like, all right, like he'd be like, yeah, you can manage me, and whatever you bring to the table, you would get, you know, I'll give you your 15-20% of like whatever you bring, you know what I'm saying? Because he moves so fast, he's gonna manage his own shit. But I would bring certain shit to the table, we would eat off of, and then like, you know, we was just doing like, I was just getting him more like relevant, like outside of the hood. I brought him up to Fairfax. We started like, you know what I'm saying, getting him to do like events and shit like that. We're outside of just like South Central and shit like that. So yeah.
Did you bring him to Koufax?
No, I brought him to this spot, this legendary spot though, that Damiano's Pizza. That's where we all used to go, and there's this dude that was there that worked there, and all you had to do was like give him like a t-shirt or like a half a joint or something like that, and he would like hook you up with like everything for free. And they had this vegan pizza over there, and Rick like would always be like, let's go get the free pizza. And me and Rick used to go hit Fairfax and hit all the promo, like boom, we go into Diamond, we go into Hundreds, we go into all that shit, rape everything, and then come right back to the hood and pop the trunk and be like, all right, what y'all want to buy? Well, this shit all half off, you feel me?
Damn,
real hustler shit.
Yeah,
though,
that's
real hustler.
Like, hair, yeah,
yeah,
hair. What he gets his shit, like he just loves, like he was like, man, we're getting this shit for free and it's all profit. He loved that shit.
Was it any type of coincidence that on Won't Holler Remix, you guys put Freeway right before Rick Ross on the feature list?
What do you mean?
Nah, that was a mistake.
That was
a
mistake?
Yeah. They made a mistake. Yeah, they fucked up. Yeah.
Who fucked up?
I don't know. Some fan like pointed that out, and I was like, oh, yeah, they fucked up the name.
Damn.
Don't fuck up Freeway Rick Ross name. I know.
This project is under London Drugs.
That's right. Me and Sean House.
Where did that name come from?
We just came with that name. We were drinking a lot of lean at the time.
Which is not a London drug, is it?
Yeah. No.
This is in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did. Sean's wife came with that name.
Shout out to her.
Yep. So we were just like, yo, because I was like, we're doing something together. Like, this is like a group. It's not like just Jay Worthy solo. It's like, this is all produced by him. So,
by the way, if you had named the group Jay Worthy Solo,
that would have been hard.
Yeah. Like, seems like a band meeting you guys are going to have later. Right, yeah.
Anyways, though, we did London Drugs because we were drinking that shit like all the time. Because in Vancouver, you can go buy cough syrup right over the counter for like $10 for like a pint.
It's a magical land.
We were doing hella. I was doing hella drugs though when I was making that album. I wasn't the only drugs I was doing. I was on my fucking 36 Chambers shit. Like every day I was coming there with a. Like, that was a crazy time.
But, so then when you put this new deluxe version out, is it weird to get back in that space, or is it like...
I'm happy to hear it. You know, I was just slapping that shit in the car on the way here, and I was like, every time, like, I don't listen to my own music, but so when I was listening to it on the way up here, I was like, oh, yeah, it's that shit. Like, you know, the first time, like, me and him, like, played that shit in the car, we were like, oh, yeah, we made some shit right here. Like, we knew we fucked with it, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So...
Before you came up here, we were just talking about the Currency video.
Oh, right? yeah.
Which is fire.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys did that down in New Orleans at his new building.
Yes, at his new building. You know about that,
Yeah, because we were down there for his birthday.
Oh, okay. And you then fuck with Spitter.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, no, okay, yeah, 10 yeah, that's years. The, here's how much we fuck with Spitter. Yeah.
Crazy.
So he came up here and we interviewed him for MTV. We were doing these like short, absurdist interviews for MTV,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So we just asked him in passing. We're like, yo... You were signed to Damon Dash right after Rockefeller had broken up, and mm-hmm. Dame went over to Def Jam to do Damon Dash Music Group, right?
Right.
And mm-hmm. so he was like, yo, here's how much fuck, like, you know, the fact that I don't have Rockefeller anymore. I'm going to put the Rockefeller insignia on Pilot Talk 3, right?
Uh-huh.
And so he's like, plus, I'm going to give my Rockefeller chain to Currency. So we asked Currency about that, and we're like, where is it? And he's like, I have it at home in a drawer. He's like, do you
the want rock
it? Because they had their falling off, yeah. So he's like, I got it down in New Orleans in a drawer.
Yeah, do you guys want it? And we were like, absolutely. Yes, and yes, he said, next time he's up in New York, he's going to give it to us.
So as many times as he's come to New York, we pressed him. We ran up on him and Musa. He owed us a verse at some point, too. So we went like hard trying to get that verse. And we would hit him on text, and he would be like, sorry, I be high. And we're like, yes, we know. That's why we want your
verse. He never
verse.
Responds to shit. Or if you hit him about some other shit, like some fun shit, some car shit, some movie shit, he's going to hit you right away. Right but back. If you hit him about some work,
nope,
he ain't going to hit you back.
All these years, we press him, we see him, and he comes up here on the podcast, and we say on the record, where's the Rockefeller chain? And
can we have it?
Can we have it? Yeah.
Yeah, I'll bring it next time.
Legitimately,
next interview, fine. I don't know how y'all gonna divvy it up.
Well, look, it's fine. We'll kill each other.
Do whatever y'all want to do. Do whatever you want to do. But the next time we line up, I'll sit it right there.
Oh,
it's all good.
It's
no problem.
Yeah,
no
it's y'all like
do, if I light up a joint on that couch.
Yeah,
I come back. All right, I'll bring that. I'll sit down. I'll fucking light a joint right there, and that'll be
because it's either like give it to us or eBay it, whatever. You know,
nah, just don't eBay.
Yeah.
Keep it forever.
Yes.
Keep it forever. Bring it to everything.
Okay, we'll do.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Every time, any show, every time y'all get fucking TV shows, movies.
Yep, yeah.
I'll have it on set.
Yo.
Mm-hmm.
Have it on display.
Right.
Put it around dogs. Do something. Make sure that it's in.
None of what you're saying is crazy, by the way. Like,
all right. I know who I'm talking to. I know I'm almost giving y'all suggestions.
I know.
So definitely do these things. And we got to deal.
For his birthday, we went down there.
Uh-huh.
And we're in New Orleans. And we were like, hey, like, you know, and by the way, the real plan was that we were gonna get it.
We were gonna bring it back to New York where it rightfully belongs, right? Bring the Rockefeller chain back to New York. It doesn't matter that there's two of us and there's one chain, we will just like keep it here, fine. Better in New York than New Orleans, right? So we were gonna get to the airport and we were like, what are we gonna do? Like, because Jeff at one point was like, he'll send it to us. We're like, no. We're like, no, don't trust this to the United States Postal Service. We're going to go down there, get it, go through TSA with it. And we're like, what are we going to do? Watch it go down the belt and like through the x-ray machine? No, I'm going to wear it through the x-ray thing that you do yourself. Because what do you do when you go through the x-ray thing? You throw up the rock, right?
Throw it up.
So we go down there.
Yeah, and he did not.
He didn't give it to us. So all these years...
All these years, all Currency, these years. You still got the motherfucking rock chain, man. Exclusive joints.
But you went down there and you shot the video with him, and it looks dope. It sounds dope. How was it for you?
Man, it was cool. You know, that was like my second time going to New Orleans. The first time we went out there, I did an album with an EP with Currency, mm-hmm. London Drugs. We also recorded that in one night.
Lazy.
Just to get that off. But nah. shit, I like it out there. It's a lot of love in New Orleans. The people are hella cool. The food is amazing. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I get, every time I go out there, like, we go low riding, like, more than we do in L.A. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I got homies that got, like, the big homies from my hood got low riders and shit, but none of the, like, little homies got it. So, he thought just because I'm from, like, Cali that I would automatically know how to, like, hit switches. So, he was like, yo, well, which one of these you want to drive? And I was like, I'm not touching any of those, bro. I don't know how to... I'm going to turn that shit upside down hitting the switch. You know what I'm saying? So, that's, yeah, that shit fun out there, though. I like it out there.
Did you end up with the Rockefeller chain?
I didn't. I didn't end up with the rock chain, man. No rock chain.
When we were just doing some light research on you, right? Because we want to know a good idea of who's coming up here. Yeah. You did an interview with Passion of the Weiss.
Yeah, Jeff Weiss's
website. Yeah. Los Angeles.
That's who linked me with Ezra, to be honest.
For real?
Yep. He was like, yo, this kid Ezra fucks with your music. He manages Tay-K. I think this is like who you need to like fuck with. And then he pulled up into the lobby, and I'm like, I didn't know if he was white, black, or whatever. Yeah. And I'm looking, and I'm like... He's like, what's up? I'm like, oh, this little nigga's like, for real. And then we kicked in. I'm like, yo, this is my guy right here. Yeah. So
did you know how old Ezra was before you
met
him?
I don't think so. I think I thought he was going to be like 20 or 19. He was just like this young kid or something like that.
And he pulls up in a beat up car over by 91 and Central.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I started
he came on some bossy shit. He's like, no, don't trip. I'm going to Uber to you. I was all the way like in Manhattan Beach. Because I gave up my apartment because I've been moving around so much. So I've just been living in hotels and just floating around and shit. So he came and pulled up on me.
That's dope.
Mm-hmm. One last thing about Ezra. I started talking to Ezra. He was definitely in high school. Mm-hmm. He was definitely like, I don't know, 15. But he comes across like a 65-year-old.
Yo, this is the craziest shit about this guy. I'm talking with him. I'm like, yeah, when we first met, I'm like, yeah. I'm like, 40-ounce van, that's my guy. And he's like, yeah, I know 40. We used to throw parties together a few years ago. And I was like, a few years ago? So what, you were 13 years old, bro? Throwing like you know what I'm saying, booty shaking competitions with a 40-ounce van? That's legendary.
And
he's like,
yeah.
And he's like, yeah. He was in the club with us for our release party.
Crazy.
You know what I'm saying? That's legendary.
He knows
shit.
Everybody that we know.
Yeah.
Ezra is a legend.
Ezra's a legend. For real. Yeah.
So when we were reading this piece, though, which is a great piece, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
They start talking about Vancouver, and you go, yeah, I don't really want to talk about that.
Man, because, like, you know, a lot of, like, people don't know. It's like, people get this perception fucked up of Canada. It's like, some real shit goes on over there. Like, I saw probably worse shit go on over there and was into more shit over there than I was when I moved to Compton. Yeah. So, you know, and it was a series of events that led me to leave. Because shit was so crazy. So it's like, you know, I don't talk about it because, like, my homies is really involved in some serious shit. So it's like, you know, they want to touch down on all that type of shit. I'm like, man, my homies, it was a point in time I didn't even rap because I thought that shit was so corny. I was like.
You thought rap was corny?
Yeah, I was getting money. I was like, the fuck, rap? Hell no, I'm not rapping.
Well, then like, what was the switch there?
Yeah, I'll tell you what the switch was when I got out of jail and then, my stepsister's mom bailed me out. She like, you're gonna go on tour with your sister.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to 2012. I went to South by Southwest, and this is kind of like at this point in time, like money was slowing up. Shit was just kind of like it was just like kind of a rough time. I was like getting into shit. I'd stabbed somebody. Then I was on the run. Then some shit happened in front of my house in the Biddy. It was just a bad time. And then someone was just like, yo. So I came, I went to South by, I met a bunch of people, I connected with Yams, I went back to Vancouver, I linked up with Sean, and then that's when we started making the London Drugs shit. And then, you know, it just was like a series of events. It was that, then my brother got into film, I linked him with like some people on Fairfax, that got me a TV show credit, and then just good things just started happening, you know what I'm saying?
But was music...
I always did music,
yeah,
and I always loved doing music, but, like, I didn't really, like, I just did it because I loved doing it, but I didn't really know, like, you know, like, too much about the industry or anything, like...
No one said you had a very distinctive voice, none of that? Like, no one said you're marketable?
Nobody said you're on beat?
No, I had a tape with DJ Mustard that, like, I had put together,
and well, how'd just, you like, meet Mustard?
I knew Mustard when he was young, just through my boy Ducky, rest in peace. He produced his first track, and then he was like part of a clique called Block Stars, which actually trailed down to Vancouver with a bunch of homies that I knew out there. So it was a long connection between a lot of different people.
Was he Dijon or was he always Mustard?
He was Mustard.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah. Always the same jovial
he was
guy?
He was rocking. Yeah, he would, like, I was a little bit older than them. So, like, they were, like, the little homies were, like, rocking, like, high school parties and shit like that. That's what he was, like, known for.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, DJing, like, parties like that.
Was Ezra there?
No. Ezra might have, like, been, like, 4 years old. No, he might have been, like, eight
or
at 40. That time.
You never
yeah,
know.
You never know.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
40.
Yeah.
We don't know Ezra's age yet. It ain't been verified. He says he's 17, but we're not sure.
That's right. When you were deciding to really get into music, what was your affiliation with ASAP EMs?
He pushed us to do the album. He was like, yo, what's up with all these, like, one, like, he's like, you're just dropping songs, like, just like, oh, you put out one song a month or, like, even, like, less than that. Like, oh, and, but you do, like, he see that I do, like, a video for them, and he'd be like, oh, that's tight. But he's like, yo, like, you need to, like, take this shit and, like, piece it up into an album. And then, like, you know, he taught me, like, all right. Like, he was like, yo, we fucked up. Like, when we dropped Use the Trick, we didn't have the album ready. That we just, like, put that out. And then the album came out, what, like, a year later? Yeah. So it's like, that shit, like, back then it was just like, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I was just like, all right, tight. I got Yams on a song. He coming to the hood. We doing a video. Put it out, you know what I'm saying? Now I know, like, and understand this shit because, like, I studied it, you know what I'm saying? And he, like, he taught me a lot of shit.
EP, remember, because he came to host the party for it and shit.
Oh, right.
And he ended up, like, parlaying it into a full album.
Full album, yep. Mm-hmm.
We had originally got him on some songs to do, like, an EP and something.
Yeah.
Like,
just
do a whole album.
Yeah. He came down to Vancouver and everything, and then he, like, flew me out here, and, like, this is, like, early on, and then that's how I linked with P on the Boards, and, like, I remember all that shit.
But was there ever a thought that because you're not in New York, because you're not in L.A., because you're not in Atlanta, that, like, maybe...
Well, I was in L.A.,
no, though. Right. But full-time, was there a feeling that because the music industry is not there, that... Or did you believe in the internet that much?
No, I didn't. I was in L.A. most of the time. I'd just come over there to record. Or when I had my bitches, I send them over to Vancouver. That's the only time I was going over there is to get money.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so, yeah, I didn't think about that. I was just like, I'm in L.A., I move around. I really like, whenever I go to New York, still to this day, like, I'm always like, damn, I got to move out here. Because it just be, you know what I'm saying? It's just something
just
about
expensive
it.
Enough to make it worth it. Yeah.
It's really expensive, but shit, it's something about the way y'all move and the way people get shit done out here. It's like fast paced, yeah. You feel me?
So what was corny about rap to you?
All of it. I don't know. I don't know. Like I like a lot of the new rap though, but like
But at the time, when you were moving
the way you were moving.
Oh, corny about rap. Yeah. Just rappers in general. I'm like, that shit fake. Like, these niggas ain't out here doing that shit. Like, I'm gangbanging. I'm at the park every day. I'm with the homies. We doing this shit. We living this shit. I'm on the blade. I got bitches. Like, these niggas is fabricated. This is me. I'm the real deal. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, I'm like, fuck rap. Nigga, I'm getting money out of bitch. Period. That was it. So, you know... That was my attitude. Like, man, I don't give a fuck about no rap. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, that shit, you know, I don't know. I just, something changed. Something changed in me. I don't know what it was, but something changed. You know
yeah,
what I'm
so, but so you go on tour with your sister.
Yeah, which I think that probably changed me a lot, too. And then, like, just seeing that shit and, like, then, like, hanging out with her and her friends and then, like, going to, like, all these different type of parties and meeting all these different type of people and just, like, you know, broadening my horizons. And, like, in L.A., like, I would just stay in Compton. Then it took, like, baby steps. It was like, all right, I'd just stay in Compton. Then it was like, all right, now I'm fucking with the homies in South Central. Then it was like, all right, then a couple of them introduced me to the kids on Fairfax. And then, you know what I'm saying? So it was like baby steps. And then by the time I was on Fairfax, then my sister started popping. And then You know what I'm saying? All that shit rolled into other shit. So it was just like my, like everything happened for a reason, I feel like, in my life.
Styles, you want to hit us off about October 3rd in Highline Ballroom?
Yeah, yeah. What up? It's your boy Styles P, a.k.a. the Ghost, a.k.a. Two Jews and the Black Dude Special Jew.
What up? It's your boy Sheena Luch, a.k.a. Silverback Bobby Backland, nigga.
It's your boy Jada Kiss, a.k.a. Leroy.
Leroy.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Petri Dish, a.k.a. For the Culture.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Shooter Boy in Blue, a.k.a. Papa Smurf.
Hurry up, nigga. What's going down? October 3rd is going down. Tell them, fellas.
Yo, listen. October 3rd, we're going to be watching a movie at Highline Ballroom with you guys.
A special intimate viewing of a movie of our choice.
Yeah.
But we're going to do a Q&A and watch it with the fans. Something, you know what I mean? I know y'all listen to the audio and y'all want to be there. So here's y'all chance.
Yo, listen. Seeing it in person, being in the room with us is so unbelievable. Laugh out loud funny. There were so many times during this episode where Jada and Styles couldn't even handle what Sheik was putting out there. But man, you guys got to be there live.
October 3rd, y'all.
Highline Ballroom.
Don't miss it.
It'sthereal.com. When you decided to make rap your career and your life.
Oh, Sean, I remember this. He was like, whoa, you're a rapper now. He was like, he couldn't believe it. He's like, whoa. He's like, so this is like real. Like, you're like really a rapper. And I replied, I was like, hell yeah. Because I'd made up my mind. I was like, fuck this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, homies either getting killed, going to jail. This shit, these bitches ain't solid enough. You know what I'm saying? So it was just, that was the only thing left to do was that. You know what I mean? So.
But what did you decide to bring to the table where you would not end up being corny like the guys you did not want to be anything
or did
like?
You, or did you want to be corny like the guys you didn't want to be anything like?
That's what I just wanted to be me, dog. That's it. So, and I just like making music. So it was, I didn't think about it. Like, you know, I guess I was like, damn, like, you know, that's like the all, like, that's the, like, when you gangbang and you from a neighborhood, like, that's how you would diss your homie, like, who rap. You'd be like, blood, you're just a rapper, blood. Like, oh, you don't want to ever be called that. You feel me? Yeah. Like, nah, hell no. What you talking about? I'm a rapper. You know what I'm saying? Nah, never that. But
so were you nervous to, like, tell, like, your friends?
Nah. It was cool because homies in the hood already knew that I did music. So they probably wanted me to do that shit anyways and just take it more seriously. I just didn't. You know what I'm saying? But then when I got with Sean, it was because it was like I would go to studios. I would try to make music. I would be like, yo, I would just want to rap on this loop sample. And then the producer there would be like, that's not really tight. You should just rap on my beats. And I'd be like, all right, here we go. But I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm not paying for studio time at a time. And I'm like, all right, fuck it. I'm just going to hop on whatever I can. You know what I'm saying? But then when I got with Sean, it was like, we understood the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to make the same shit. So that's how that went.
You know, another thing that that you talked about with Freeway Ricky Ross was that he felt like, he said that you were too outgoing to be a blood.
That I was too outgoing?
Yeah.
Yeah. What, like I'm just like too outspoken and shit like that?
Listen, Jeff didn't say it.
Yeah.
Well, Freeway did. Yeah. Because, you know, like, because
I mean, like, listen, like, we both share the same opinion, me and Freeway Ricky Ross.
Well, I'm going to tell you like this. Like, I get along with a lot of people. Like, I, like, you know, for the same reason, like, G-Worthy happened, like, because, I don't know, like, a lot of people got it, like, I let a lot of that go. Like, you can't really, like, gangbang and do business. Because then, like, you know, if you meet some of the homies, they're going to be like, what's up, blood? They're not really going to talk, you feel me? But, like, I'm trying to get business done and I'm outgoing and, like, you know what I'm saying? So, I guess that's what he means by that. But I think, like, you know, he know me well. Like, he would pick me up every day on Brazil and Wilmington, so he know where I'm from. But, yeah, I guess, like, you know, I'm different than a lot of my homies, and that could be just, you know, I was born somewhere else. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Also, in this business, it's a lot of relationships, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we
like, if I wasn't like as outgoing as I am,
yeah,
then like I guarantee you, like, nothing would happen for London Drugs. Well, or like, you know what I'm saying? As far as like what, like, like, cause I was running the PR, the, like, all the shit, like, yeah, as far as the, like, that part goes. Sean do all the production, all the artwork, oversees everything, executive produces everything. But as far as, like, you know, being the people person,
mm-hmm,
You know what I'm saying?
So were you like sending out emails yourself being like...
Yeah, I would just hit up like blogs. Sign
J Worthy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They'd be like hella messy too though. They'd just be like, hey, what's up? I got this song. Andy, you would see that shit. See, Andy's like... We have like, we call this, me and Sean always joke, we have like regional managers. It's like Bar is our New York manager. Yep. Andy is our Canadian manager. Breeze is our LA manager.
It's like Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah. Ezra's Vegas. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ezra's the legend.
Yeah.
Just overall.
The overseer. You know, yeah.
The overseer. So.
Well, he's just been in the industry the longest.
Yeah. He's been in the industry longer than anybody.
Yeah.
So.
But so this business is so relationship based. And there's so many people who are fake out there. How did you determine whether people are, you know, real or not?
Oh, you see that shit reveal itself all the time. That shit be fake as hell. Sometimes, you know, I like fools would just be like, oh, yeah, yeah, man, let's link, wooty woot, and all that. And then you hit them up.
And then where's the build?
I know,
where's the build?
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? I'd be off of that shit. Like, I could tell who's, like... Well, you can't tell. You got to find out. But, you know, that's how you find out. You'd be like, oh, that motherfucker was just baking pies. Like, he wasn't really trying to work or he wasn't really trying to do no shit like that. It'd be select few. That's why Yams was like a real dude. You feel me?
Yams was not baking pies.
Nah, he wasn't baking pies at all.
So he reaches out and...
that was a real nigga right there.
But he had his situation.
He was working on getting his own little imprint at Sony.
Yeah, Yamborghini.
Well, no, he had Yamborghini before, and that's when Joey and Aston were on there. But then he kind of, like, let that go. And then he's like, yo, I'm about to revamp some shit, you know what I'm saying? And he's like, it's going to give me a chance to, like, do, like, side artist shit. And he, you know, like, okay, like, we've been going to these label meetings lately. And, like, what I do for Pro Club, what I did for Vice, what I've done for a lot of companies, I feel like I could do for a record label as an A&R, you know what I'm saying? Not just as an artist, because with Yams... It was like I would put him on to certain artists. Like I was like, all right, man, listen to BG Perico. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
G Perico was locked up in jail when I was playing Yams and shit. Early. Earl Swavey, yeah, like certain shit like that. So he was like, he was gonna build this thing at Sony. He was gonna like grab us to be the like LA guys, but I was gonna help. You know what I'm saying? Like recruit artists at the same time. You feel me? But
you have a tremendous ear. Like your choices and the people you work with is pretty amazing. Have you thought about taking people under your wing and being like, yo?
I mean, me and Sean talked about it. Like, you know, that's why we started our imprint GDF Records. And like eventually we do want to like have like, you know, sign artists or put out other people's projects that we fuck with. You
what
know
does what
I'm
GDF
saying?
Stand for?
Getting down foul, because we don't pay anybody for anything.
Oh, so why do you call it Cash Money Records?
Cash Money. Yo, they just tried to sign me. Did you see that shit?
No.
Yeah, they was like, oh, shit, we need to, I guess they're starting some shit called Cash Money West.
West, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they.
And you are West.
I am West, you know what I'm saying?
But so you had the conversation with them or no?
I had a little conversation with them. It was through my big homie Wacko.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not Whack 100, Wacko.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he hit Whack and was like, you need to check blood out, I guess. And then, boom, I just seen the post go up and it was like, I keep getting calls about J Worthy. I'm like, nigga, you probably got one call from the big homie. But, yeah, anyways, fuck it. If the bag right, I'm going there. You feel me? I'm going wherever the bag is. You know what I'm saying? But it's not just about the bag. It's like, are you going to let me put out music the way I want to put out music? Because... You know, somebody like Greedo, that shit was so tight in it. That was such an inspiration for me because I was like, this fool is like literally putting out like music. Like he's dropping like 30 song albums like every like couple weeks and just like keeping it going, keeping it going, keeping it going. It's like, that's like with me and Sean, like we got a lot of material and a lot of music. So like we don't want to slow down at all. Like now that we got to like... start this rollout with Active, like, watch. You're going to see, like, every month we're going to have a new project.
That's super dope.
For, like, a minute. You know what I'm saying?
You're going to release them in the same way, or?
On GDF Records, yep. Straight through Empire.
That's super dope.
Mm-hmm.
Through Cash Money.
Through Cash Money.
Yeah. Everything is through Cash Money.
Shout-outs to Bird, man. Yo, it's crazy. You know where Currency lives? Like, in the gated communities over there. Like, he's like, yeah, that's Miss Gladys' house. I'm like, Miss Gladys? I'm like, you talking about Birdman's mom?
Yeah.
Like, and then he's like, yo, this the big timer's house. Like, seeing all that shit to me, I was like, wow.
That's wild.
Because, like, you know, coming up, that was the shit.
Yeah.
Cash Money was the shit.
Well, what'd you think when Mac 10 signed to them?
Oh, that was hard too. I think he got them for some bread too. He got a good, nice little check.
Yeah.
I hope the Cash Money West deals look like that. You know what I'm saying? Me and Sean definitely signed today. Give us that Mac 10 deal.
You lived with Big Face 100. Yeah, right?
I sure did.
Yeah. So who was the clean roommate and who was the messy roommate?
I lived with... Okay, so look, Face lived on... It was like this. If I don't know if you've seen Black Wall Street, like Brazil and Wilmington. So it's like these two mini like flat houses. They're like they could be called like apartments. Face's one is right here. And then me and his dad's one were right there. So me.
Wait, what do you mean they could be called apartments?
Like, I don't know. They like, you just gotta like see. You go look at that video with Drake and Game.
Mm-hmm.
That's outside of my house. Look at those. Like, they just like some like, it's a trap. Like it's like, it's a hood spot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you would call it because it's not a house, but it's not
like. It's like a compound.
Yeah, it's like a compound with like two. Only two units on it. So me and his pops lived in one unit, and then he lived in the other one. Yeah, that was a crazy time, though.
Were you living there when Drake came to shoot that video?
No, I had moved out at that point, mm-hmm. but
the video was coming in
exactly, yeah. And I didn't. I was like, man, now my house is gonna be on blast. But you know that shit like right around the corner from my neighborhood. So
yeah,
it was nothing. Face it hit me like oh, you know Drake shooting a video with my brother like. Tell all the homies. So man, I brought all the West Sides. I brought all the Anthons. We was there deep.
Yeah.
That's how I met Drake. And then that's how Drake like kind of fucks with me because he met me there and all the homies was like, hey, blood from Canada too. And whoop whoop. And then one day me and Andy were at like this some like mansion party in like West Van in like the hills. And I'm like, he's like, yeah, they said they're having like a party over there. So I'm like, all right, let's pull up. And I'm like, man, them niggas ain't going to be here. And we'll get up in there. And then there's Drake and all them in there. And then he seen me and he was like, yo, what? Jay Worthy, what the fuck you doing out here? Like, you know what I'm saying? He forgot completely that I was from Canada. He's like, I'm like telling him, like, what? Yo, bombed it, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So he remembered me from that. And then I made a relationship with P. Rain, Preem. That's mm-hmm. my boy.
Yeah.
I just directed his video. It came out, like, maybe 2.5 weeks ago.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Do what, all Canadian
shout out to Toronto. I don't really fuck with anybody in Vancouver, but I fuck with Killy.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
I fuck with Preem.
You have Killy
I
here.
I fuck with Pressa. I got a lot of people in Toronto. Toronto's and Toronto on some real shit.
Yeah.
For real. It's going down over there more than anywhere.
Yeah. Who's a Canadian artist or personality that people would be surprised you're friendly with?
I don't know. Shit. Who? Sarah McLachlan. There you go.
Real?
Yeah, for real. I record at her house and shit.
What?
What?
Yeah.
Did you pay her for studio time?
No. Never.
Yeah. Wait, I can't tell if this is fan fiction or not.
Like, no, this is like, real. I recorded Sarah McLachlan's house.
How did you
house.
Meet Sarah McLachlan?
It's a long story.
Was she at the same party as Drake?
No.
Was she at the same party as Ezra?
My pops is homies with her ex-husband, but they still own the house and the studio together.
She has a compound.
She's got a compound, and there's this crazy studio there. And, like, it's in the hills in West Van, and, like, it actually has this, like what do you call that? Like a crane or, like an elevator
Stork.
Thing to, like, bring in grand pianos into the studio because it's, like, yeah, some crazy shit. Like, an elevator that, like, comes in through the trees, like, into the... Yo, into the studio.
That's wealth right there.
Like, yeah.
Shouts out to Sarah McLachlan.
So anytime that you see like the sad dogs video.
Yeah, the commercials.
You're like, that's my friend.
You know what I'm saying? There you go.
Did you just try to like stunt and bring in like a grand piano just cause?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, just through the front door?
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
No.
On that
elevator. I should've.
So you have that relationship with Yams.
Yeah.
You felt like you were gonna keep that relationship going and perhaps sign over to his new deal?
Yeah, like whatever. You know what I'm saying? I was rocking with whatever he wanted to do. You know, that was my dog. He got me in the music game. So whatever he suggested, I was going to go for because you know, it was in my best interest.
And did you feel like you guys understood each other on another level?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, he just understood what type of music we made and wasn't trying to, like, change that, you know. And, like, you know, shouts out to Def Jam. We just took a meeting over there the other day, and, like, the lady that we played our music to, like, she was cool as fuck. What was her name? Caitlin. She's tight. She's like, yeah, no, you guys are tight. It's just like, I like what it sounds like. Sometimes I go into those label meetings and they're like, all right, what's the radio hit? What's your numbers like? I'm like, all right, let's go. I'm tired of this.
Yeah.
So they care about music.
Huh?
They care about music. That's crazy.
No, they care about numbers.
I thought you were saying that now they do. Like,
no,
that,
this
that
new
meeting,
one.
Yeah.
Yes. But they just fucked with it genuinely. Like, a lot of people don't understand, like, what we do. You know what I'm saying? They'll be like, oh, this sounds like some old school stuff. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Did you even do your history? Like, who set this meeting up? Do you even know who I am? Like, what the fuck going on? So,
well, you do have, like, multiple managers, so it could have been, like, any of them who set the meeting up. Like,
It
was Ezra, and the year was 1997.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happened.
Do you have any good Shug Knight stories?
I got good Shug Knight stories. That was my dog, you feel me? I got nothing bad to say about him, that's for sure. You know, we got along cool. He always hit me up. Like, it was funny, too. Like, when's the last... I spoke to him, like, just the day before all that crazy shit happened. Because I was actually out in New York, and I was working on Noisy Bompton. Mm-hmm. And then he had hit my phone, like, how you gonna make a Bompton documentary not have me in it? And I'm like, that's why I'm calling you right now. I'm like, about to put you on the line with these guys. And then they got off the line with them, and they were like, man, Shug is a nice guy, man. We got it all set up. We're going to go there. I'm like, yeah, I told you. The next day, the video shoot. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that was the last time I spoke to him, but yeah.
Music became your career, but like you said, your brother got big in directing and filming.
Oh, yeah. My brother does his shit. Like, he just did a crazy documentary. My brother lives in Toronto. He just did a documentary called True North with the Canadian Film Board. It's kind of like Hoop. Do you remember Hoop Dreams?
Yeah, sure. Of course.
It's like the Canadian Hoop Dreams. This shit's really dope,
That's
though.
That's awesome.
Because there's a lot of talented ball players coming out of Toronto and shit.
Yeah.
A lot of talented shit is coming out of that city, period. But, so... he kind of got me, like, that was, like, my pops. He kind of always just, like, raised us on, like, good films and good music. So I guess I went and did music, and he went and did film. But that, when he put me, like, we made this show called, like, Welcome to Fairfax. We sold it to, like some network or whatever. And then that kind of got my feet wet in, like, just knowing what's up with film and how that shit goes. And then Yams was like, yo, Vice is going to hit you up, and they're going to... they want you to, like, be their dude to, like, walk them through all these hoods and, like, film all this shit. So I was like, whatever. As long as they cut the check, like, we can do that, I guess. So then it was like, all right, we want to do it on, like, L.A. Bloods. So I was like, all right. I took them through a bunch of neighborhoods. Then they were like, nah, we just want to do it on Bompton. Then I took them through a bunch of Piru neighborhoods. Then it was like, nah, we just want to do it on you and your homies. And then it was like, all right, now we want to do it around the Kendrick album. And then it just happened. It was just like three of my best friends, they just did it on and made it around to Pimp a Butterfly. But so once I did that for Vice, I was kind of in the
not
door.
Not to
with
cut
them.
You off, but was there anything that you wish had made it in to the Bompton documentary?
Yeah, some of my songs, so I could be getting checks right now. Tripping, like, what the homie told me, like, blood. He told me, like, I'm still getting paid off of that shit. I'm like, I gotta get my ass capped, or what is it? The SoCan, it's hooked up. I do have one song on there, yeah.
And
I just haven't got a check from it though, but it must be piled up now.
What's your ASCAP name?
I don't know. I don't know if I have ASCAP, but do I only have SoCan?
SoCan/BMI.
All right, what I have. Some Canadian shit.
my ASCAP is Can I Get Paid Publishing.
This is true. Yeah. This is true. But if you weren't involved, Kendrick wouldn't have been involved in this, right?
No, of course not. Like, you know, he did that on the strength of like me, G Weed, and Lil L. You know what I'm saying? Free G Weed. But that that right there. You know, that was us, like, putting that together and him just being like, this is an opportunity for the homies to, like, get some shine and get it, and it's a good look for us. And, you know, Kendrick just a real dude, like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if you've seen, but, like, he'll, anytime I'm with him, he'll bring me out on stage. He'll give me a shout-out. He'll tweet my video. I just went to Australia with him. Like, that's, he still come to the hood. He give back to the homies every Christmas. Like, it's just a real dude right there. So, you know.
Was there any concern on your part of how Vice would portray everything that you were showing them?
Me and G Weed sat in the editing room and made sure that shit was right. So wow. We got to see, like, the edit, and we were just like, all right, like, you know, of course they're going to, like, film and shoot it and have, like, their reporter dude or whatever, Zach at the time. And so it's all good. We knew what to expect. We just made sure, like, you know.
Yeah, because there were concerns when they went to Atlanta.
Yeah,
of course. That it was portrayed sort of as an outsider.
Yeah,
of
course. Or anything they do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, at that time it was just like, we trying to make it out the hood, and this is an opportunity for us, and it gave opportunity for my homies to get shine. Like, so, like, you know, that really pushed my boy Lil L into, like, actually doing rap, like, pursuing it. It pushed, like, G Weed into, like, becoming, like, a manager and, like, a music dude. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I think it was just overall, it was just positive for the neighborhood. And then I got way more work after it too, because, like, anytime now somebody wants to go shoot something in Compton, whether it's like A&E or HBO, they are like, oh, we'll hit up Jay Worthy. He's the guy for the job. You know,
are you picking up every phone call you get?
I check all my DMs. I pick up all my phone calls, because it's money. It could be money on the line.
Even if it's caller ID blocked.
Sometimes I do. Yeah, sometimes I will. I'll be like, who is this?
And I don't, like, know who it is. Cash money, yeah.
Yeah.
It's cash money. I told you, we got the bag for you.
Where were you when you found out that Yams had passed away?
I was in Whistler. It was like a little, like, snowboard town in Vancouver.
Yeah.
It was my it was like the day after my birthday or something like that, or like 2 days. Yeah, something like that. I was upset, man. That shit fucked me up.
How'd the news get to you?
Somebody just, like, I was, like, just asleep, and then somebody just called my phone, like, told me that shit, and I was just like, man, I was sick, you know what I'm saying? I flew out here, like, whatever the week was, the next week for the funeral. But yeah, that shit was weak, man. That shit was weak.
How'd you bounce back?
I mean, shit, you know, I just know, you know, he just want to see us do what we doing right now, so... You know, I feel like, you know, we're keeping his legacy alive by doing our music and keeping our shit going, you feel me?
But, who in the camp are you closest to?
Shit, I don't know. I talk to 12E and Lou probably mostly. Jay Scott.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're my guys right there. Nast is my dog too, though. Like, you know, but he's so hard to get on the line. But whenever he want to hit me up, whenever he want to hit me up, though, he'll hit me up, and we do shit. Like, he brought me out. We did, like, me, him, and Shlomo did, like, a like, pop-up show together, like, a month ago. And we got some songs with Nast, but he's, like, been holding on to them for his solo album that he's been working on for, like, fucking 4 years.
Well, listen, it took you guys 3 years to make your album, so,
not everybody can do songs in a day.
How many different numbers?
Setting the tone for shit now, man.
Yeah, check the temp.
Yeah.
Check the temp, man.
How many different numbers do you got for Rocky?
Huh?
How many different?
I don't have any numbers on Rocky. Wow. I just always see Rocky. It's always, you know, salute, we chop it up, but... Yeah, no Rocky numbers.
How many ASAP text threads are you on?
Not that many at all. All
right. No. You keep it lean. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, you do keep it lean.
Oh, well, yeah.
I do drink lean.
Yeah.
I need to stop. So I'm not, I don't drink it all the time, so.
Just for flights.
Right. Just for flights. No, for real. Like, I do that shit to, like, medicate. Like, I got trouble sleeping, so it's like. That shit, like, really the only thing that could put me down.
Mm.
They gave me Zopla clones, and that shit, I popped.
What is
I
a
popped,
Zopla
like,
clone?
I popped that on the plane, and I think I took, like, some bars and, like, some lean on my flight here, and I got on the red eye, and I still couldn't sleep.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, that shit.
That's really got
so then what did you do if you couldn't sleep?
I stayed up.
Well, yes.
And then I got here, and I had to do Rhythm Roulette, and I drank as soon as I got off of the plane and turned up. I bet you that Rhythm Roulette's going to be brazy.
Yeah.
They're going to look at me like, wow, he's brazy, bud.
Picking out records had to be crazy.
Yeah.
no sleeping off all that shit had to be crazy. Now that I'm thinking about it, but I'm gonna hit them and be like, Rhythm Roulette's mainly about producers, right? Focus all that shit on Sean and just have me come in when I do my rap part with Shy Half, and that's it. I'm gonna be on there like, hey, blood. Yeah.
So
Sean's over there thinking about it like, oh man.
Yeah, you were in a
zone?
Yeah.
You can say that. Yeah. All the above.
Yeah. So
was in a hole. I looked faded in there, huh? But that's
like,
all right.
Off, but you were like right there, but not quite.
Oh, really? It's all good.
Well,
no fucking.
I, for one, am very excited about this video.
I know, yeah. You got to be in the editing session for that.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I know a lot. I know everybody at Mass Appeal. They won't fuck my shit off. They're all cool. They said we could see it before. I'm like crazy about that type of shit. If I see like something, I've had like videos taken down or interviews taken down like hella times. Like,
what about this one?
No, this one's cool.
Okay, nobody's gonna listen. That's cool.
What about pictures at the club? Can you track those photographers down? And
yeah, I don't really like taking that many pictures at the
club. No, but if they sneak take them,
fuck it. If you catch me in the club, I'm gonna look like. Oh, I can never take a good picture in the club. I always look fucked up.
What collaborations
do real blackout boys, you know what I'm saying?
Oh.
For real.
Yeah.
Yes.
What collaborations do we not know about?
No, I pretty much let all the cats out the bag, nah. I think. I mean, I think the me and Shlomo one is kind of rare.
Mm-hmm.
We got the me and Left Brain, London Drugs and Left Brain.
Mm-hmm. That's been coming for a while.
That has. Okay, you know about that.
Yeah.
Jake One and Jay Worthy.
That's super dope.
Yep.
That's some Northwest shit.
I don't know about the Sarah McLachlan one.
That one's in the works. We're going to work on it. We're going to get Elton John in there too.
Oh, yeah, my God. Grand Piano.
You got to get Alanis Morissette.
Oh, fire.
Yeah.
You got to get
Brian Adams.
That's some royalty.
Yo. Give us a good story from Alchemist's house.
Yo, I ran into Noriega yesterday at the radio show, and I remember like Nori came in, and it was like me, Body, Earl Sweatshirt, like West Side Gun and Conway, and then like Nori comes through at like 10 in the morning with like 10 fools, and he has like this new liquor. Like, I guess it was like some like Japanese shit, and he just
not
like,
Tiger Bomb.
Yes,
that's his favorite thing.
That was his shit, and he like made us all like take shots at like 10 in the morning.
Nasty.
And like not I was just like, that's Tiger when Bomb? I just realized like, and then later that day, like Schoolboy came through and was like, "Hey, I need to use the studio," and like I was in the middle of recording. He's like, "Worthy, you're not tripping, right?" And I'm like, "No." He's like, I'm like, wow, Alchemist's house is like the craziest house ever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like everybody really over here, but
yeah. It's like a clubhouse.
It's like a club. It's like a rap clubhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like you have everybody from Noriega pulled up there to, you know what I'm saying?
Action Bronson. Yes. Yeah.
I think Action
Hip-hop.
Actually was there earlier that day.
Hip hop would go.
He was.
Yeah. Yeah. Did he have Tiger Bone?
Did he have Tiger Bomb? No, he missed out on that.
Oh. Yeah, he missed out.
He missed out on it.
Yeah. But I'm sure he's real bummed.
I had enough for him.
You guys just like hang out and everyone's recording at all hours?
You can just show up to Al's house, you know, like he doesn't even answer his phone, so you kind of like got to show up there. But like sometimes, like I lived like pretty close to him, so I'd like come by on my bike, and I'd be like, and then I'd see like a crazy car outside of there, and I'm like, oh shit, Rick Rubin and Eminem are probably in there right now. I better pull off and come back another day. You know what I'm saying?
But instead, it's Freeway Ricky Ross.
Yeah, huh?
It's Freeway Ricky Ross could in the
be.
Car. Yeah,
it could be.
Wait, you wouldn't go into that session just to hang out?
I'm not gonna go knock on the door and bother that man when he got those type of whips outside of there. That's some other shit. You know what I'm saying? If I'm already there, then and those people pulled up, then it is what it is. But I'm not gonna at the door. So
I was just in the neighborhood. I didn't know.
It's true though.
What changed after that Vice documentary?
I got Vice to shoot every video for free for like a year.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Premieres like always on the Noisy YouTube channel. People thought I was signed to Vice. They're like, "Oh, the rapper who signed to Vice." I'm like, "Nah, but if that's what you think, cool."
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, thank you.
That's the best when, like, just they can think that you're signed to Cash Money. They can think you're signed to Vice. They can think you're signed to Depp. Whatever.
But we're just,
yeah,
go ahead. We're just
as long as you don't have to pay them a percentage. GDS. I know. I'm like, you know, it's fine.
Yeah. We're not going to pay them a percentage.
How come you don't have a Wikipedia page?
I don't know. Ask Wikipedia. I don't know.
See, I would make it for you, but I got banned.
Yeah.
I don't
want one. Like, all that shit's too, like, telling you, like, my life, like, all that certain shit, Govy names, I can track you down type of shit, like, nope, not for that.
Right.
Like,
you're from the town of Nardwar. What are you talking about? He knows everything on you.
He probably does.
Yeah.
He probably does. He always sees me at, like, different things, and he always, like, tells people, he's like, that's Grimes' brother. I'm like, all right, that's enough of that shit, man. It's enough of your crazy ass, man. But, no, he's cool. I fuck with Nardwar.
What does New York mean to you?
I got dirt on Nardwar, too, though, man.
No, so, like, yeah. Just keep it, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, we're going to interview him. So,
you're
going
to interview him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he knows, like, everything on everybody.
He's does.
Like, actually, in 1993, Ezra signed fucking...
What does New York mean to you?
Shit, New York's the shit. I love New York. This where it all started. This the Mecca. You feel me?
Who do you link up with when you come
in? This where everybody
in?
Get fly. This where the hip-hop started. This the shit. You feel me?
Who do you link up with when you touch down?
Bar.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
yeah.
saying?
Yeah.
A lot of people, like Shy Hef, you know, all my nine Trey homies uptown in Harlem, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? My Pyru homie that you just seen out here, we got a hood out here too,
mm-hmm.
so, you know, it's all love, you know what I'm saying? All my homies at Palace, mm-hmm. Supreme,
mm-hmm.
all them, you feel me?
Yeah.
Are they also Pyrus at Supreme? It is a red logo.
Nah, it is a red logo, though.
How do you know Taxstone?
Oh, Tax was my nigga, man. He used to pull up on me, like, heavily out here. I met him with Freeway Rick.
He had a good
Rick.
Ear, too, by the way.
He did?
Has one, yeah.
Still one, yeah.
Bet he does, man. He still...
He was
he
early hit, on everybody.
He still hit me up from the inside. That's my guy right yeah. there.
Shouts yeah. to Tax.
Keep your head
Free
up.
Free Tax.
Okay, so we know about, obviously, London Drugs. Mm. We know about your collaboration with G. Perico and
mm-hmm.
Cardo.
Mm-hmm.
G. Worthy. Mm. Did you have any other collaborations that had amazing names for them?
I like the one that we're going to call the left brain one. It's called Brain on Drugs.
That's really good.
That's really good.
That's really good.
That was really hard.
Is he rapping on that too?
Yes. I made him rap.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that tough?
Kind of. Yeah. Like, he didn't like... It wasn't like... Those were like... That
long sessions.
Yeah, those were long sessions. He does like all punch-ins and shit
yeah.
too.
He's got a wild technique of recording.
Which is?
Well, it's weird, like...
Here. Sit here.
Mm-hmm. Exposed left
brain. Yeah, no, recording that. He's tight, but he'd be, like, doing, like, four bars and then, like, fucking off for, like, an hour.
Yeah.
And, like, coming back and, like, redoing it.
Can you imagine that? Like,
no.
Four bars and then coming back in an hour?
That sounds
crazy.
Like you going to Australia.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. For real.
Yo, in the time it took you to fly to Australia, you could have recorded an album.
Right, yeah.
That part.
Nah, but we got that done pretty quick, though.
Yeah, we did. I was like...
That was like a week, maybe?
Yeah, he came to my house for like, what, 10, 11 days? Everybody's like, come to my spot in Vancouver.
Yeah. And then we take him to the studio and record.
Yeah. And it's just at his house, so it's like Yams. Everybody, the whole mob pretty much been through there. Yeah. A lot of people came through. That's where I like to record, to be honest. Away from all, like... Like, now I'm better at, like I can record anywhere and do my shit, like, but that's where all, like, I feel like my London Drug shit is our best shit.
Mm-hmm. What is it about, shit. What is it about, now that Sean's off the mic, what is it about Sean that you enjoy, like,
it's my dog, most, man. Yeah. We're just my dog, and we just, you know, we share the same interest and same musical taste, so it's just easy, you know, it's not even like we got to question anything, it's just like.
You got a shorthand.
Yeah,
it's like boom. We know what we're doing.
Well, does being in LA like and being in that health minded culture is that like something that
health minded culture?
Yeah,
but there ain't no health minded culture in Compton. We had like a organic grocery store that got like shut down. It was like open for like 3 months or something. Like
why'd it
that.
Get shut down?
I don't know. Like I don't know, but I have no idea, man. But I don't know. There's not. I'm trying to be more healthy. Like you know, just on my new, you know. healthy life, trying to, you know, I watch what I eat and shit. I went, at one point I like lost a bunch of weight and I was like really on my shit. I think I lost like 20 pounds. I was just like on strict diets and just like not drinking any lean or anything like that. But this traveling shit got me drinking lean again because it fucks up with my sleeping patterns. And then a nigga can't fall asleep properly, so I'd be getting off of the juice.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying?
You don't buy it through, like, Instagram?
I don't really drink it that much, though. Like, to be honest, like, I really, like, do that shit to medicate. Like, I really do it to, like, all right, I need a good, like, I need to sleep on this plane. Then I do it, like, we don't really sip. Like, when I come to the studio, Sean, I never sip London drug shit anymore. Like, I'm pretty, like, I come over there, I'm so sober, I'm sipping water. Like, so that shit, like, just really be, like, special occasions or
bar mitzvahs.
Yes, traveling.
So. Does it shock you how much of a rapper you've become?
I guess, yeah. Yeah. It has.
You're the guy you used to hate.
Yeah, exactly. But nah, you know, I don't even like consider myself, it's like, yeah, I rap over beats, I guess, so I'm a rapper, but like, I'm not a rapper though, man.
Well, how many of the guys, like, growing up, like, would rap?
Huh?
You know? Like, how many guys just, like, around would rap?
Yeah, they all everybody, would be rapping. Right? Yeah, everybody get faded on the block and then start rapping and
but
shit
then,
like
but
that.
No one wanted to be the rapper.
Nobody wanted to be the rapper, though. But then, like, homies would even be, like, you know, like, we had one time we had, like, a studio right in the turf, like, right in the heart of the Faux Line. And, like, we'd all the homies, we'd just be hanging out at the park drinking. And then we'd just go back to the homies' house and, like, just make records. Those records would never come out because they're, like, super gang banging and disrespectful and shit like that, but like all the homies bust, all the homies can rap. You feel me?
So, when you were growing up, and you would hear people rap, and you would hear lyrics that they claimed to be true, and you just thought it was all false.
Not even that. I wasn't even that. It's just like I don't know. It's just like something about like. I don't know, just like, yeah, that shit corny. Like, you know, rappers get robbed in L.A. Like you know what we see in L.A.? Like out-of-towners come and, like, pay gangs to, like, protect them and shit like that. Like, that ain't bragging.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like our big-time artists come and want to, like, join gangs after they're, like, already famous. Like, that's mystery. Like, I don't know. I just see a lot of mystery shit. Like, so, you know, like... Like, everybody think L.A. is, like, their playground. Like, this shit ain't your playground. Like, this is where we from. This is where we do our shit at.
Well, on that subject, what do you think of, like, the popularity of Blood Talk? And what do you think about the popularity?
It's crazy. That shit wild. But, like, you know, at the same time, YG is, like, my good friend. So, you know, that's so tight. Like, you know, he like, trademarked the word Bompton.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's brazy. You feel me? That's a word, like, the homie's been saying since, like, 80-something, you feel me? Like, but, like, now you got, like, white kids and, like, Justin Bieber wearing, like, Bompton sweaters and shit. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, at the end of the day, like, sure, it's all, like, I mean, it's all positive because, like, you know, it's like, in some way, it's like we're getting recognition for this shit, but sometimes it rubbed me the wrong way because I'm like, this shit is sacred. Like, this little thing of ours that's, like, now... Like, you know, but I bet you the Crips felt like that, too, when, like, Snoop was, like, super big. And then you see, like, white people seawalking and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that shit just gets exploited. It is what it is.
Have you met Elon Musk?
I haven't.
All right.
Haven't met him. I'm still waiting on my Tesla. Still waiting on my rocket launcher. You feel me? I'm gonna be the first Paru in space. You feel me? All that.
Yeah, not a lot of rappers have rocket launchers, right?
No, I'm gonna tear shit up with that. They don't want no problems.
So, all right. So this
the homies got rocket launchers now, blood. We finna pull up. It's over. We're clearing our whole neighborhoods. We don't come in with the PA system like kids and mothers clear. About to lay shit down. All right, but yeah.
I'm just excited about this project. I'm excited that you did it in a non-traditional way. I'm excited that you let it. Rock organically, that people picked up on it, and that you were able to re-release it and not pay any fucking you know, labels or anything. Just,
yeah, appreciate
like,
it.
Do it your own, and I'm glad that you shut it down like an organic store in Bompton, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Congratulations on it.
Yeah. Thank you.
You and Sean.
Yeah, Sean. You know what I'm saying? This is it. Active. So
yeah, we're looking forward to everything else.
All right.
Right on.
All right.
Thanks everyone for listening to this new episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real Jeff. People want to find out more about us. I'm Eric with the curly hair. You're Jeff with the glasses. Together, we are It's the Real, no apostrophe, no spaces. Jeff, if people want to find out more about this podcast, it's called A Waste of Time with It's the Real. What a clever name. Mm. If people want to find out more about anything and everything that's going on with us, where can they go? You can always go to itsthereal.com. Why would you go anywhere else to find anything about us? Just go straight to the source.
Yeah.
XXL Magazine. itsthereal.com, itsthereal.com. If you're looking for tickets, if you're looking for our book, rhyme book, if you're looking for our music, if you're looking for our podcast, if you're looking for our merch, it is all there, itsthereal.com. Also, I'm sure there's pictures of us, itsthereal.com. If you're looking for our podcast, look on iTunes, A Waste of Time with It's the Real, or if you're maybe not on an iPhone, maybe the iPhone is too expensive.
Maybe.
Maybe it's too good.
Maybe.
Maybe it's made by two tiny hands.
Well,
and maybe you want to use SoundCloud. Go to soundcloud.com/awasteoftime or soundcloud.com/itsthereal or
what?
soundcloud.com/2
yeah.
Jews.
Yeah.
#2
yeah.
Black dudes.
Right.
2 Jews, 2 Black Dudes.
That's for all the movie reviews.
That's for all the movie reviews.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Great. If you're looking for our music.
Okay.
Teddy Bear Fresh is on all streaming services. Go cop that right now.
That's an album, by the way. Someone did jump in our live today and say, hey, it's my favorite mixtape. And I'm like,
they had the gall.
I said, you know what? I appreciate you listening, but get it the fuck right.
Yeah.
It's a full album.
Don't you come to us and tell us that we have a good mixtape when it is an official release.
Give me those streams back.
Yeah.
Teddy Bear Fresh.
It is an official release.
That's right.
If you are looking for us on social media.
Mm-hmm.
At It's the Real on Twitter, at It's the Real on Facebook, at It's the Real on Instagram, at It's the Real on Fortnite.
All right.
Stink on there.
Go get your ass whooped by Jeff.
Yeah. I got that stunner grenade.
Jeff,
for that ass.
You know, we so often get hit up by people who so appreciate what we do, and that is so lovely to hear, and we really do love hearing about it. We love when you guys reach out to us and you tell us you helped me pass the time, or you helped me get over something tough, or you know what? I fell asleep to your podcast. We love it all. And we want to show our appreciation to you guys.
Yes.
So, Jeff, who do you want to shout out today?
Well, I should say that so many people reached out and said, oh, my God, you had Jay Worthy on the podcast.
Yeah. It has been like a month and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people were so excited.
This is true.
But I forgot all of those people.
Damn.
So, I do want to shout out Bar None.
Shout out to Bar None.
Who is our neighbor who brought over Jay Worthy. He was in the building.
One of Jay Worthy's manager. He's like his New York manager is how he described him. Shout out to Bar.
Mm-hmm.
An OG.
An OG.
From around the way.
Who you can spot running through Riverside Park and doing 4,000 push-ups in Central Park.
Shout out to Bar. Jeff, I want to shout out our friend out there in San Diego, our friend Josh, also known as
El Stompo.
El Stompo.
El Stompo.
Shout out to Josh, a.k.a. El Stompo, who, when we met him in Los Angeles, we did a meetup in Los Angeles in January of this year.
Yeah.
And he brought his own notebook, and he asked us to inscribe it with something inspirational, which we did, and I was so happy to do that, and I thought to myself, rhyme book, our notebook that is in stores right now, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, itsthereal.com, that was just in development. And I thought to myself, this is what it's really about. Write down your hopes and your dreams and run into someone and have them sign something nice. Shout out to El Stompo for putting that into the air and having us sign that book right there. And so glad that he went out and ordered his copy of rhyme book, and it's arriving to him soon. Again, rhyme book available right now. 30 pages of original content inside this lined notebook. It's beautiful. It's fun.
We gave our copies to Jadakiss and to Styles and to Sheik just the other day. We use ours. We saw our guy Fleisch was using his. Lots of people have hit us up about it. It's super dope. Let's keep it at the top of the charts. Go to itsthereal.com and order yours right now. Guys, we appreciate you. As always, not for real, for real.
Sure, sure.
We'll see you guys next week.